Well, let's turn to our psalm for this evening, Psalm 11, a psalm of David. Let me first of all read it to you. Psalm 11. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, our gracious Father, how we thank you for your word. What a delight it is to have in our hands the very words of God. Words that we can believe, words that we can rely on, words that we can live by. We thank you that your words are so much of a delight to us. They are indeed that a lamp for our path, a light upon our feet. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word, though often challenging, often hard-hitting, yet it deals with us where we are. And we can live according to it. We can, Lord, know what to do in this world. What your will is for us. We thank you that it shows us what to believe and how to live. How to be right with you. Through faith in Christ. We pray for your word tonight, Psalm 11. We pray that through it you would teach us more of yourself. More of your glory. And that indeed our hearts would delight in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, David's life seems to be falling apart. Or so it seems. All around him is collapsing. Now, it's probable that this Psalm of David, Psalm 11, was written during his time fleeing from the murderous hand of King Saul. That's almost certainly when this psalm was written. You see, King Saul is obsessed. He's obsessed, isn't he, with finding David and with killing David. So in 1 Samuel 26, verse 18, a verse from that period of time when David is on the run for his life from Saul. In 1 Samuel 26, verse 18, we read of David complaining against the king. Against King Saul. Why is my Lord pursuing his servant? What have I done? And what am I guilty of? Life, you see, as David had known it, was falling apart. We can sort of relate to that today, can't we, with the way things are. Perhaps not literally falling apart, but we know what it's like to live in difficult times when things are so different from what they have been. Well, that's what happened to David. Life as he'd known it was falling apart. And it's clear from 1 Samuel that David's faith at this time was severely tested. In fact, this severe testing is also seen within our psalm for this evening, Psalm 11. However, what we find, both in 1 Samuel and in Psalm 11, what we find is that David's faith comes through triumphant in the end. Well, let's consider David's faith as it's shaken and tested, and David's faith as it's sustained and triumphs. Two things. Firstly, David's faith is shaken and tested. This is seen in Psalm 11 verses 1 to 3, if you have the psalm open in front of you or watching it on the screen here. Psalm 11 verses 1 to 3. Now there are three things in particular which shake David's faith. And there's three things, these three things often shake our faith, don't they? First, in verse 1, it's the advice of his friends. The advice of his friends. Isn't that a surprise? The advice of his friends. Perhaps they were well-meaning, but they tell David to escape, to run away. They tell David to get out of the situation he's in. They tell David to find an escape route, as it were. They tell David to get out, to escape. Effectively, they are advocating what I might call escapism. Verse 1, in the Lord I take refuge, David writes. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? You see, when our faith is tested, the temptation is for us not to face up to it, to hide from it. Temptation is for us to go read a book, or go watch the television, or go on holiday, or to occupy ourselves in some other way. In other words, the temptation is for us to ignore the problems we face, to shut them away, to hide from them, and to shirk our responsibilities. But that's not right, is it? It's not right. We're not to find an escape route. We're not to indulge in escapism. We're to take refuge in the Lord, as verse 1 clearly tells us. That's the answer. Not escape, refuge in the Lord. So that's the first thing that shakes David's faith, the advice of his friends. Now in verse 2 we see the second thing that shakes David's faith. What is it? It's the attack of his enemies. Verse 2, for look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. And we also experience this, don't we? We know what it's like to be misrepresented and maligned. We know what it's like to be hounded for our faith in Jesus Christ. We know what it's like to be taunted and ridiculed and mocked. How can you believe in the miracles of Jesus? How can you believe in a literal six-day creation? How can you believe in God's judgment to come? Hell, how can you believe? However, we shouldn't be surprised by this, should we? In John 15, verse 19, Jesus tells us that the world hates us. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus tells us that in this world we will have trouble. Therefore, we shouldn't be surprised by all this antagonism from the world because of our faith. And again, our refuge from this hatred and antagonism is the Lord himself. Jesus says in John 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now the third thing which shakes David's faith is the most serious of all. It's found in Psalm 11 verse 3. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? In other words, David has been shaken by an assault upon his foundations. Therefore his understanding about what's right and wrong is being thrown into confusion. And don't we know this today, don't we? Every morality is being challenged, isn't it? Every virtue is being attacked. What's wrong is called right, and what's right is called wrong. The foundations are being destroyed. As Isaiah 5 verse 20 tells us, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. But again, what must we do? What must we do? Well, like David, we must take refuge in the Lord. When the foundations are being destroyed, we must turn to him. He will sustain and strengthen us. He will bring us through to glorious triumph. Well, let's turn secondly finally, a look at how David's faith is sustained and strengthened as he takes refuge in the Lord. How do we take refuge in the Lord? Well, we see in verses 4 through to 7. In these verses, David considers who God is, just who God is. He takes refuge in the Lord himself. And so in these verses, David describes to us six wonderful, sustaining and heart-warming truths about God. I know the six, we will go through them very, very quickly, but six truths, wonderful truths, heart-warming truths about who God is. First, in the very first part of verse 4, we see that God is there. There is a God. He exists. The Lord is in his holy temple. And we have rock solid stability in that truth, don't we? That God is there. There is a God. He exists. And his presence is secure. We can rely on him. We can take refuge in him. God is there. Secondly, and again in verse 4, God is not only there, he rules. He's on his throne. He's in charge. He's in control. He is the king. He is the Lord. The Lord is on his heavenly throne, we read. And so we're sustained by the knowledge that God is indeed sovereign and that all things happen in accord with his plans and purposes. God rules. Third, and this is seen at the very end of verse 4. God sees everything. God sees all that happens. Nothing, not one thing, nothing escapes the all-seeing, all-searching, all-perceiving eyes of God. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them, we read. See, nothing is overlooked by God, is it? He sees the situation we're in. He observes the struggle and the confusion which we face. He even understands the hearts of those set against us. Indeed, he sees the end from the beginning, doesn't he? Now, isn't that encouraging, isn't it? That is really encouraging. God is there. God is in control. And God sees everything. Fourth, God's standards remain the same. Verse 5. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. Strong words, aren't they? You see, men and women in this world, they may call evil good in their never-ending search for pleasure and for gratification, but God never does. God never does. God always remains true. God always remains the same. God's standards are unaltered. And what God thinks, well, that's what matters, isn't it? Not what others think, but what God thinks. Let God be true and every human being a liar, writes the Apostle Paul in Romans 3, verse 4. God's standards remain the same. Such encouragement in that, isn't there? Such stability in that. Fifth, David takes refuge in the truth that the Lord's judgments are certain. Verse 6, on the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulphur. A scorching wind will be their lot. In other words, we must take in the bigger picture, mustn't we? Psalm 73 is very similar, actually, to Psalm 11. In Psalm 73, Asaph is about to falter and slip in his face. He considers of the lives of the wicked, and they seem to prosper, don't they? So he argues, Asaph argues in verses 13 and 14 of that psalm. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. He's struggling, isn't he? But then he looks up. Verse 17, I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. And that's what we must do. God's judgments are certain. We can rely on them. Sixth, and finally, and Stuart alluded to this verse, or read this verse right at the beginning, God's love for us is trustworthy. God's love for us is trustworthy. It's reliable. It never fails. Verse 7. For the Lord is righteous. His love, he loves justice. The upright will see his face. Isn't that wonderful? The upright will see his face. See, it's not just that God is there. It's not just that God is sovereign. It's not just that God sees everything. It's not just that God's standards don't change. It's not just that God will judge. It's that God loves us and cares for us, his people. Even though we deserve absolutely nothing from his hand, for we are sinners saved by his grace alone. But God loves us and God cares for us, and he will see us through to his own presence, where we will see the King in his beauty. God is on our side. The upright will see his face. Glorious, isn't it? Wonderful. So why do I say that David's faith is sustained and strengthened and even triumphs? Why do I say that? For in the midst of his heart-rending trials, and they really were, far worse than we face today, even with a pandemic raging around us. In the midst of his heart-rending trials, David takes refuge in the Lord. David knows that through God's undeserved mercy and grace to him, he knows that God is his God. The Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. Well, may that wonderful truth encourage our own hearts as we seek to live for the Lord within this world. Amen.